Married at First Sight. Chapter 3277. Carrie was a little angry, but she still held it back. She said, "It's much better now. At least I dare say hello to him. The last time I saw Zachary, I was shaking. I didn't dare look at him directly, let alone talk to him." This time she didn't dare to call Zachary, and she even talked to Zachary. Her performance was not very calm, but she was 80% calm. This was not progress. In just over a month, she had changed like this. Wasn't that okay? She used to tremble when she heard Zachary's name. The bodyguard stopped talking. "In the future, don't always ask me to do this or that. I need time to learn, especially in the past half month. Mr. Lab has said that this half month is my holiday. I just aborted my child for him." Carrie said it with a straight face. This was her first pregnancy, and she had an abortion as soon as she found out she was pregnant. She had no feelings for the child. But it was a fact that she was physically traumatized. The pain on the day of the miscarriage was something she had never experienced in her entire life. It was Mr. Lab who made her suffer like this. The bodyguard said coldly, "The young master has been able to take over the boss's business. As expected, he will be the successor to boss. With the successor, the boss will not want any more children unless you can satisfy him. If he has feelings for you, he may give you a child to accompany you for the rest of his life." Mr. Lab had no shortage of children. The children he had with his first wife were all considered outstanding. Several of his previous mistresses satisfied him, so he allowed them to bear him several children. Carrie's time with Mr. Lab was too short, and Mr. Lab rarely came to Wiltspoon. What kind of relationship could the two people have? They were just using each other. Therefore, Mr. Lab will not let Carrie have a child. Carrie knew that, but when she heard the bodyguard say that, she was still angry and said coldly, "I don't want to have a baby. I'm young, but I don't want to be dragged along by a child." She was also waiting for Mr. Lab to fulfill his promise after completing the task assigned to her. She can marry the person she wants and be a young mistress without having to be kept in the dark by others. The bodyguards stopped talking. They had been following Carrie for some time. They had already clearly figured out Carrie's temperament. Carrie was a spoiled child. Even though she had suffered a lot, she was still so willful and impulsive. She was not mature enough and was also too young. That's why Mr. Lab arranged for the two of them to follow Carrie, always reminding Carrie what to do to avoid being cheated. Zachary also sent someone to investigate Mrs. Lab. Even if her husband handed over false information, it was obvious that Zachary did not believe the false information that her husband handed over. Zachary also always wanted to prove that the so-called Mrs. Lab was Carrie. Therefore, when Carrie appeared in front of everyone as Mrs. Lab, there must have been no mistakes that could easily arouse suspicion. "Stop at the intersection ahead. I won't go back yet." Carrie wanted to take a walk alone. The bodyguard immediately said, "Where do you want to go, madam?" "Boss has told me that whenever you go out, I must stay with you." The bodyguard in charge of driving also said, "It's a rainy day today, and madam, you just had a miscarriage and are still sitting around. It's best not to walk around." Carrie was furious and finally said, Okay, I won't go. Carrie was tightly controlled and very angry, but Serenity didn't know. She didn't get up until almost 10 o'clock. As soon as the temperature dropped, she had difficulty getting out of bed. It was still warm under the quilt. If Secretary Demi Hillier hadn't called her and told her that Evan had sent a lot of things to her office and asked her to pass them on to Abby, she might not have returned to the company in the morning. Chapter 3278. After simply eating something, Serenity went out in the car and headed to the company. When she arrived at the company and entered the office, she saw many gifts. Secretary Hillier said, "Madam, the fourth young master said he bought it for Miss Du and asked you to help him deliver it to Miss Du. This is his apology to Miss Du." Secretary Hillier didn't hear Evan's gossip and was very curious. But if her boss doesn't tell her, she won't ask. Why doesn't Evan send it himself? Serenity looked at the pile of gifts, many of which were Wiltspoon's specialties. They were all the things she wanted to buy for Abby, so Evan bought them, which made it easier for her. Secretary Hillier, fourth young master, didn't say anything. Serenity, well, I understand. Go ahead and do the work. Serenity walked to her desk, took out her cell phone from her bag, and called Evan. Evan quickly answered Serenity's call. On the phone, Evan made another request. Knowing that Evan really decided to give up on Abby, the two of them could not become husband and wife, nor could they become friends. At least the future fourth young lady would become jealous. But Evan did flirt with Abby. After Abby fell in love with him, he pulled away and left. He was sorry for Abby. He then bought some gifts and gave them to Abby through Serenity's hand, just to make himself feel better. After this time, he will not give anything to Abby again. Serenity said, "Okay, I'll send it to Abby for you, and I'll tell her that you bought it." Evan paused and said, "Just say it. It's okay if he doesn't go there." After meeting Fox last night, Evan became more and more sure of his feelings. He just loved Fox. Even though he still didn't know Fox's name, where she lived, or where she came from, it didn't stop him from liking her. Emotional matters were the most difficult to force. Evan didn't want to force himself. Grandma didn't care about him anymore, so he let himself go and left as he pleased. Therefore, he didn't even go to see Abby. Abby probably didn't want to see him again. She was also the kind of person who would break it off completely. In this aspect, she was quite similar to him. "Evan, sister-in-law, I'm sorry to trouble you." "Who called me your sister-in-law?" Serenity sighed. After hanging up the phone, Serenity also processed a few documents before letting two bodyguards come in to help move things and stuff all the gifts prepared by Evan into her car. Then, under the escort of two bodyguards, she went to the Wiltspoon Hotel. Abby packed her luggage and checked out of the room. She just walked out of the hotel with her small suitcase and was about to call a car to go to the airport. Her flight was after 12 o'clock. It was the best time to go to the airport. Once she got to the airport, she had something to eat and waited to fly back to Hyribity. Serenity saw her dragging her suitcase out and quickly asked the driver to stop. "Abby." Serenity got out of the car and walked towards Abby. "Didn't you say you would play for two more days? Are you leaving now?" "Well, I'm busy with work. I'll go back 2 days early. Sister Saren, are you here to see me off? Abby's eyes glanced behind Serenity twice, then turned back. What was she still daydreaming about? Evan wouldn't come to see her off. Chapter 3279. You didn't even tell me when you went back early. If I didn't come over, I wouldn't even know you were gone. Serenity scolded her lightly. Abby smiled and said, "It's my fault. I thought you were also very busy. The temperature in your Wiltspoon has dropped a lot today, and it's also raining a little. I don't want you running around." She looked at Serenity's belly. Serenity was wearing a thick coat, but her belly was slightly bulging. "Abby, you are still pregnant with little York. Serenity, after I give birth to the baby, I will go to Hyribity to play with you. Abby, okay, then I'll treat you to all the specialties in Hyribity, which are no worse than your Wiltspoon specialties." Serenity smiled and said, "I'll remember it first. Are you in a hurry? I sent you something. Strictly speaking, it wasn't from me. It was our Evan who asked me to send it to you. He prepared a lot of donuts for you. It is said to be an apology to you." Abby was silent and then said, "Are there many things?" Serenity said, "It's quite a lot. You might not be able to carry it all by yourself. If you are willing to accept his apology, I will help you transport it. You just need to give me an address." Abby pursed her lips, thought for a long time, and said, "If I don't accept his apology, he will think that I have been complaining about him and he is thinking about me. Okay, you can check it with me, and I will accept his apology, and then it allows him to pursue the girl he likes with peace of mind. There is an address on the business card I gave you, just send it to that address." "Okay, then I'll send it to you later." Serenity took Abby's hand again. "Abby, I really like you, and we get along very well. Cameron said that she was back, and I wanted to take you over for dinner, but you had to leave early. Alas, Evan is unlucky." Abby smiled and said, "Sister Saren, don't say that. Evan is lucky to like others. I think the girl he likes will not be any worse. I haven't learned anything from coming here this time. At least I got to know you and Sister Jasmine. I'll come over again when I'm free, and you two have to treat me to hot pot again. Also, your baby is born. You must tell me so that I can prepare golden locks for the babies." Serenity said, "Yes, we often hang out. Come and play when you have time. Okay." This time, when Abby came to Wiltspoon, she left with some injuries. She really wanted to develop a relationship with Evan, eventually become husband and wife, and grow old together. However, fate plays tricks on people. She was the one chosen by Grandma May, but Evan just didn't like her. Any idea? It was more worthwhile to go back to recuperate and return to work to make money. At the same time, Annenberg in Province X. Tinsley knocked on Elora's office door and walked in. "Sister, it's almost time to get off work." Elora didn't even raise her head and answered Tinsley, "In the past 2 days, you have knocked on the door and come in on time." "Tinsley, I'm hungry." Elora said funnily, "Are there not enough snacks in your office? I can still make you hungry. Exercise more and be careful not to gain weight." Tinsley pinched her face and said with a smile, "I don't get fat so quickly. In fact, Tatum really has two brushes. The dishes he cooks are different every day, and they are particularly delicious." It was not that they had never tasted the dishes made by Tatum, but the dishes made by Tatum were just a little more delicious than those made by others. Tinsley said it was Tatum's dish. Be different. If they don't have more than 10 or 20 years of skills, they can't do it. Chapter 3280. Tatum said that he started cooking when he was very young, and he also liked cooking very much. Sure enough, talent and hobbies are very important. Tatum has entered the catering industry, and business must be very good. Fortunately, his business was thousands of miles away in Wiltspoon, so far away from them that it couldn't affect their Ormond family's business. Otherwise, with such a powerful competitor like Tatum, the catering industry involved in the Ormond family would definitely fail. It's very difficult to lose weight, but very easy to gain weight. Elora looked at the time and saw that it was time to get off work, so she turned off the computer and said to her sister, "You are becoming more and more like a foodie. If you can eat the most delicious food in the world every day, just be a foodie. Everyone needs to eat. Who is not a foodie? Anyone who doesn't eat or drink is not a foodie." Tinsley also looked at the time as she spoke. "Jolie and Tatum will be arriving soon. Elora won't go back to eat at noon because she is too pressed for time. Occasionally, she would go to her hotel for lunch. There was a lady like Elora who was very good at eating. The hotels owned by the Ormond family were very strict in their cooking. Even so, Elora couldn't eat every day. Elora could barely make do with the food cooked by the chefs in the five-star hotel, and because those chefs had worked as private chefs in Ormond's family, they knew that she was picky. Whenever Elora wanted to have a meal in a hotel, her secretary would notify the hotel 3 hours in advance to be ready. There was no need to cook a table full of delicacies, just two or three dishes that Elora could eat. When the hotel received the notice, it would ask the chef, who has worked as a private chef in Ormond's family, to cook only for Elora. The chef said privately that every time he received such a notice, his scalp would become tense. It wasn't until Elora left the hotel after dinner that the chef's tense nerves could relax, not only for him but also for the hotel's management. When Ormond's family had a new chef, Jolie would often bring food to Elora, saving her the time of going to the hotel. It could also reduce the pressure on the hotel. The time had to be just right. If she comes early, she hasn't gotten off work yet. If she comes late, the food will definitely not taste as good as freshly baked. Tatum said that even if it is delivered in the shortest time, people who eat well will feel different. In order to let Elora eat fresh, he prepared the ingredients, then ran to the company canteen with the prepared ingredients and borrowed the kitchen utensils in the canteen to cook for Elora. Elora was picky and had no requirements for the quantity of dishes. If there were one dish at every meal that she could eat, she would be full. Tatum didn't cook more for her. He only made 3 dishes and 1 soup for each meal, which was just enough for 2 people. He knew that Tinsley would take advantage of others. His future sister-in-law also had to please. Ring, ring, ring. As soon as Tinsley finished speaking, the intercom phone on Elora's desk rang. She pressed speakerphone. "Miss Tatum and I have brought food. Jolie had already taken Tatum into the office building and called Elora through the front desk's internal phone. "Come up, Tinsley and I are waiting," Elora said it gently. She got up and went into the bathroom, washed her hands, and when she came out, she said to Tinsley, "Tinsley, don't you wash your hands?" Tinsley said, "I washed my hands a long time ago and was waiting to eat. I don't know what Tatum cooked today. The home-cooked food he cooked is really delicious. I don't know if he brought snacks today. Every afternoon, the tea, I will miss it all day long if I don't have the snacks he made." Elora smiled and said nothing. Chapter 3281. Tinsley knew that Elora had misunderstood her again after seeing her smile like this. She didn't even bother to explain. She said that she just admired Tatum, and the meals and snacks cooked by Tatum were all to her liking. Not only did she enjoy the food, but Elora didn't say anything. Anyway, in the 2 days since Tatum took office, Elora had not found any fault with his cooking. The dishes made by Tatum remain the same, but the taste he makes is hard to fault. "He shares the same age as me and has achieved significant success in the culinary arts. I have to admit that he is talented. And he also studied the recipes very carefully." Elora gave Tatum a rare compliment and affirmed his cooking skills. Tinsley said, "Uncle Jolie said that the luggage he brought, except for a few sets of clothes, contained recipes from various major cuisines. The recipe may be the same, but everyone's taste is unique. Some people make it delicious, and others make it beautiful, but the taste and heat are just a little bit different." Tinsley added, "He said that he has liked cooking since he was a child. This is a person's hobby. It is better if you can turn your hobby into a career and carry it forward." Tinsley had always had a good impression of Tatum. Tinsley reiterated, "Alonzo typically struggles to wake up on his own. These 2 days, he got up early by himself. He promised to have Tatum's breakfast before heading to school." Elora was quite pleased. Her father and several uncles worked hard for decades, but they could only produce two men. Alonzo, her biological brother, was the first male of their generation, so everyone genuinely loved him. Alonzo received affection from his parents, uncles, aunts, and the rest of his clan. Once pampered, children tend to be willful and difficult to discipline. Elora is particularly strict with Alonzo, preventing him from receiving his elders' guidance. What Alonzo fears most is Elora. Although Alonzo would occasionally be willful, he did not become a naughty child with her under her control. Even children didn't want to get up in the morning, especially in winter, when the room was very warm and Alonzo didn't want to go to school. It was hard to get him out of bed. It had only been 2 or 3 days since Tatum officially started work, and the temptation from his food was so great that Alonzo could get up early. "Ha ha," Tinsley laughed. "Alonzo is a real foodie and will become Tatum's fanboy in the future." Tatum was good-looking and well-educated, and there seemed to be an aura of nobility in his every move. He was also a very patient person. It was not surprising to Tinsley that Alonzo would become Tatum's fan. She was also Tatum's fan. Knock, knock. There was a knock on the door. "Sister, I'll open the door." Guessing that lunch was coming, Tinsley went to open the door. Tatum borrowed the company's cafeteria to cook, and he brought the ingredients from home, so Elora can actually eat there. Tatum insisted on sending it to her office so that she could rest in there after eating, which would save her some time. Tatum said that he had his own business and was the boss. He knew that the heads of large companies are under great pressure and have a very tight time. They even have to squeeze in time to go to the bathroom. Maybe he only has 2 minutes to spare while eating. Sometimes he spends the entire meal discussing business with clients. Elora's lunch break was not long, only half an hour. If the meal time can be shortened, then her lunch break time can be increased by 10 or 20 minutes. Even though she has not yet married, she still has to take care of herself. Chapter 3282. Tatum hadn't yet fallen in love with Elora, and he hadn't even started pursuing her, so he first showed off the doting nature of a man in the York family. Second Miss Tatum and Uncle Jolly stood at the office's entrance. As soon as the door opened, the two people greeted Tinsley respectfully. At this time, it was just time to get off work. The secretary was also preparing to go downstairs for dinner. Tatum borrowed the company cafeteria's kitchen to prepare lunch for Elora, and the timing was perfect. He sent the freshly prepared meals upstairs a few minutes before getting off work, so that he could perfectly miss the company employees. It wouldn't take up Elora's working time. It took several minutes for him and Jolie to go from the cafeteria to the office building, then take the elevator to the top floor. Uncle Jolie, Tatum, you are here. Tinsley stumbled and opened the door for the two individuals. We just got off work. Jolie and Tatum walked into the office one after another. Miss. The two of them first called Elora respectfully, then walked to the sofa, put down the insulated lunch box, opened it, took out the steaming meals one by one, and placed them on the coffee table. Elora came over. Eldest Miss, Second Miss, please have a meal. Nothing happens. Uncle Jolie and I will go out first. When the two ladies have finished their meal, please call, and we will come in and clear away the tableware. Tatum has already served a bowl of soup to each of the sisters. In addition to the daily 3 dishes and 1 soup, there were also 2 boxes of snacks. 1 box was for Elora, and the other was for Tinsley, who was just eating. Elora hummed. Miss, we are waiting outside the office. Jolie said it with respect. Elora nodded. Jolie and Tatum exited the office silently. The sisters didn't talk when they ate, so they could eat faster. Soon, the two sisters finished the meals delivered by Tatum. Tinsley said, Tatum not only cooks delicious food but also has great eyesight. He prepared meals for us, no more, no less, just enough for the two of us. Tatum had only been working for 2 or 3 days, and he had already figured out the appetites of the two sisters. He was a very observant person. Elora took out the napkin and wiped her mouth. After putting down the napkin, she said to Tinsley, 2 boxes of snacks. You can send 1 back to your office. If you are hungry in the afternoon, you can eat snacks to cushion your stomach. Tinsley said bluntly, then I'll take a box. Tatum sent 2 boxes, and 1 is just for you. Elora opened a box of snacks and discovered that they were all the ones she usually ate, so she repackaged and kept it for herself. She gave her sister another box of snacks to take away. When you go out, ask Uncle Jolie to come in and clean up. Tinsley was not in a hurry to leave. She looked at Elora and suddenly asked in a low voice, "Sister, do you feel that Tatum is really considerate of you?" Elora tapped her forehead angrily. "I don't think he was considerate. Usually, if I don't go to the hotel to eat, I will ask Uncle Jolly to deliver food. I mentioned that if the road delay exceeds 10 or 20 minutes, it affects the food's taste. The road delay compromises the food's taste. After such a long delay, the insulated lunchbox maintains its warmth. It's definitely not as good as freshly cooked. I often don't eat well, don't have enough to eat, and there are no snacks that I can eat. During the working day, I rarely eat comfortably, right?" Chapter 3283. Tinsley said, "Sister, you don't even need to exercise. Your figure is always a standard model figure because you don't eat well." Elora didn't eat well and would rather go hungry. She didn't always eat well, and she was under a lot of pressure from work. It was no wonder she was fat. Tinsley said, "Sister, Tatum lets you eat comfortably. Isn't that considerate? You can't claim that the snacks he prepares for you are your favorites. That's because you don't have any snacks that you particularly like. However, the snacks he prepares for you are ones that you can eat. From what I have compared, this box of mine is very casual. Of course, the snacks he makes are exquisite and taste good, but I can still tell that he prepares them with care. In the past 2 days, we both have had more lunch breaks, and you don't have to drink so much coffee in the afternoon." Elora said, "Tinsley, I seriously suspect that you have been bribed by Tatum. What is his motive for asking you to say good things about him in front of me?" Tinsley said, "How is it possible that he has only been working for 2 or 3 days, and can he bribe me? I just feel it for myself." Elora reminded Tinsley helplessly, "I'm afraid you have forgotten. Tatum is the private chef I invited back. He only serves me and my family. He mainly serves me. If he fails to cater to my hunger, then who else will? What will I do to the private chef that I invested a great deal of time in bringing back if he refuses to serve me? Let him go back and be his boss. Also, he is still in the probationary period. It is still unknown whether he can complete the job in 1 month. He also said that he came to work as my personal chef because it was challenging. Wouldn't it be in vain if he came all the way here only to have his probation period terminated? Additionally, hiring a new private chef would not be beneficial. He is a smart man and has a very clear mind." After Elora finished speaking, she took Tinsley in her arms and said, "Tinsley, tell me, who asked you to always praise Tatum in front of me? Is it my mother's or my father's? Or does everyone mean it?" She had many younger siblings, but she had the best relationship with Tinsley. The sisters were close in age. Although Tinsley looked like a foodie, she was her right-hand man, who was very capable. With this sister helping to manage the family company, she felt much more relaxed. Only Tinsley and her brother, Alonzo, dared to speak unscrupulously in front of her. Even her parents would be cautious in front of her, afraid of saying something that would make her unhappy. She was 26 years old this year, and she would be 27 after the new year. She had no boyfriend and was indifferent to other people's pursuits. Although the company needed her support and the family relied on her, her parents were still like everyone else. Seeing her getting older little by little, they began to worry about her life events. Her parents knew how many young talents there were in Annenberg's upper class. Unknown to them, they had tried to match her up with those young talents, but they had failed. She had no feelings for those young talents. Either he was several or even a dozen years older than her, or he was younger than her. She didn't like sibling relationships. But she didn't want to marry an uncle either. Her parents were worried about her life events, but they dared not show them. Would Tatum's appearance make her parents think too much? Chapter 3284. This was really hard to say. The primary reason for this was Tatum's statement that he founded his own business and now owns several companies. His temperament, appearance, conversation, and behavior all convey a sense of excellence, leading her parents to question her intentions. Her parents are reluctant to allow her to marry far away, and she is unwilling to marry far away. However, when they become anxious, they may consider allowing Tatum to visit their home. No, how could my uncle and aunt ask me to say these things? Tatum has only been at work for a few days, and everyone doesn't know or is familiar with him yet. Tinsley said with a smile, I read novels at night when I have insomnia. I am so sensitive that I can't help but insert myself into the novel's plot. Elora said, you still have insomnia. It implies that you are not busy enough. I'll leave it to you to follow up on the project with Wordisk. Tinsley said, sister, I don't want to work with Wordisk on that project. The person in charge of this project is Memphis Webster. That kid has not dealt with me since he was a child. Elora said, how did Memphis get into Wordisk? Oh, yes, Wordisk's boss is his uncle. He refused to obey his brother's discipline in the Webster family and ran away. Now he has entered Wordisk. Tinsley said, Memphis is a ruffian and doesn't look like a serious person. When I see him, I want to fight him and ask him to keep up on this project. I'm afraid that he will deliberately make things difficult for me. But he doesn't dare to be presumptuous in front of you. He is very serious. I've never seen him act seriously in front of anyone. Even his sister can control him, but even his brother can't. Tinsley felt that Elora was very majestic, with a pretty face that was calm yet majestic, and her eyes were always like a sword, very sharp, which made people panic, so she did not dare to be presumptuous in front of her. Tinsley said, sister, I promise, I won't brag in front of you in the future. I won't think about it or make it up, okay? I'm actually very busy too. Sister, you know how busy I am. Don't leave Wordisk's projects to me. I don't want to deal with Memphis Webster. Elora smiled half-heartedly. I didn't even know that Memphis took over that project, but you knew about it, which shows that you two care about each other. Annenberg is not big or small, everyone is in the same circle, and it is easy to look up but not down. I have grown up, and I don't have to deal with him, so I have to pay more attention. I accidentally bumped into his hand, or he bumped into mine. There's no good fruit in that. If Tinsley faced Memphis, she would be very fierce and would not show mercy. During the fight, her fists and kicks were not as good as Memphis's. She was like a madman, trying her best to beat Memphis until he gave up. She knew that she would not win a fight, and she would be bullied to death by Memphis in the future. That ruffian was very bad. Elora said, "Tomorrow, I'm going on a business trip. I can't help you if you don't follow up on Wordisk's project. I'm not free. Tinsley." Memphis Webster was not from Annenberg, but his mother was a native of Annenberg, and his uncle was the boss of Wordisk. He had liked to live in his uncle's house since he was a child, and he also studied here in Annenberg, just like the Ormond family. The rich people knew each other. He was born in the same year, same month, and same day as Tinsley. Adults said it was fate. Tinsley thought it was bad luck. Ever since she met Memphis, the two of them had never dealt with each other. The oldest male of Ormond's generation, Alonzo, was only 6 years old. Tinsley was 18 or 19 years older than Alonzo. Therefore, for a long time, it was easy for the daughter of the Ormond family to walk outside. They were so bullied that they had no brothers. It was Elora who took over strongly and stabilized the Ormond family's business, making the Ormond family's position in Annenberg unshakable. The other young ladies walked outside and were no longer bullied.